Oh Lord, these boys are handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Welcome to Dynasty Football Life, a program that's, it revolves around fantasy football, and it's delivered by three fellas who equate to one mature man. Sorry, boys, to drag you down to my level, but it's the realities. Actually, 1.3 men. I'm going to give Ty 0.3. You know, he's
thank you.
He's got a girlfriend that probably likes him and a full time job. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. So there you go.
It's more than I thought I'd ever achieve in life. Then again, I was a pretty depressed child.
There we go. All right, let's start off with some energy. Get right into this.
Woo!
We got Cooper Kupp, who is on antidepressants. Just kidding, he's not. He's in the lineup. He returned from a hamstring injury and went right back to the old role, boys, right in the slot. Is that what that means? Probably.
I mean, but the way you said it, that's exactly what it means.
Okay. He had he participated in 98% of routes. I'm not sure what he was doing for that other 2%. Grabbing a sip of water, tying his shoe. We can forgive him for that. 37% target share. That's a little bit more than one third. Check that math out. And
Checks out.
His line was 8 of 12 for 118 receiving yards, but did not find the end zone. But you know who did?
Puka.
Of course. So he's clearly still relevant, at least as of this moment in time. I'm going to timestamp this October 10th. That's today. That's where we're recording. So he went 7 of 11.
8:32 p.m. Eastern.
Standard
time.
Eastern. Standard Eastern.
Also, no need to timestamp. He's going to remain relevant. He will always be relevant.
Okay. All right. Calm down. Puka Nacua. He went 7 of 11 and had a TD. So that certainly put some double digits numbers on the board. Now, to keep the hamstring injury equal, Justin Jefferson had to leave with a hamstring injury as Kupp has come back from one, just to keep the hamstring injury gods happy. And he might be headed to the IR, which means 4 weeks absence minimum. That sucks.
Sorry to interrupt, Dave. Actually, yeah. Some breaking news.
Oh, whoa. On October 10th.
We don't do this often on the podcast.
Wow. Break it.
But this just happened within the last, oh, never mind. It happened earlier today. I just noticed it now. Van Jefferson was traded to the Falcons.
Oh, well.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
No. No.
Yeah, that's news.
That's a thing.
That's news for the Jefferson family.
We were talking about the Rams, so.
Yeah.
You know, they have to hire a mover. Like, you know, there's things there.
Yeah. He's got to get a U-Haul and all that jazz.
And that ends today's segment, news that only affects the Jefferson's family.
Yeah, I was thinking for a sec, is that better
wait,
for
can
a
you play quarterback?
Owner? Hey, Ritter's not
he
that
had a good
bad,
game,
Jay.
Game.
Yes. He actually, yeah, fantasy-wise, he's was fantastic.
It might actually be better for Van, though, because he wasn't going to get playing time behind Puka, Cooper Kupp, Tutu Atwell. So,
yeah. Nope.
It was Atlanta. He might get on the field. Nobody's going to throw the ball to him, but he might actually might get his reps in there. Might get some cardio.
He will participate on some routes, and I think Jordan Addison of the Vikings may participate in some more routes. Actually, probably already does, but he might get a more bigger target share and might find that elusive end zone. He put up a goose egg last week in week 5 or whatever week that was. Yeah. And then you got Kevin James Osborne in the mix. He seems to catch the ball. If I watch the Minnesota Vikings game for 5 minutes, he always catches the ball at least once while I'm watching it. I don't know why. So maybe I should buy him and watch Minnesota games religiously. What are your thoughts around that news as a Minnesota or as a Jefferson owner or as a Cooper Kupp? Were you happy to see Cooper perform? Did that please you, to him do well, or did it upset you?
I don't know what type of negative person would be upset by that. It was great to see.
I mean, maybe you're playing Cooper Kupp in a league.
Exactly. Maybe you lost.
That's
by,
fair.
You know.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, I did play him against you in a redraft this week, Dave. That's true.
Oh yeah, that really was an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's.
But Justin Jefferson, that sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks especially because Minnesota does not seem like they're going to be poised to win a lot of games this year. So I think it was Adam Schefter reported that it's possibly stays out longer than 4 weeks if they're not winning games, which they're probably not going to be winning games. So that kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
For Jordan Addison, it'll be fun to see what he can do. Though I was reading something before we started recording. It was Reception Perception with Matt Harmon, where Matt Harmon was talking about the reason he liked Jordan Addison in Minnesota so much was because he can make big plays when he's kind of away from the number one target and seeing what he can do there. So, you know, he does so far has struggled quite a bit in press coverage. So if he is the number one target, we'll see how that goes. But with KJ Osborne, he's probably going to end up being fantasy relevant, I would think.
You think TJ Hawkinson's more fantasy relevant?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think he kind of has to be, right?
It's
maybe
they should pick up Van Jefferson to replace Justin.
That what,
you're laughing. Come on.
Just that is the worst, like the worst ever case of we already have a Jefferson at home.
All right, so it sounds it's good for Addison people, it's good for Osborne people, it's good for Hawkinson people, it's bad for Jefferson people. Yeah,
bad for football fans.
Yeah,
Osborne. Though, I will say this is an interesting stat I actually saw in the CBS fantasy podcast. Osborne in 14 games where he's had seven or more targets, he has touchdowns in 9 of those games, and over 76 yards in 11 of those 14 games. So if he actually gets targets, he could be relevant despite the fact that he's not really a super talented receiver. So he's probably worth that redraft waiver claim. If you have him on your dynasty roster, you could probably actually play him.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 3, flex bill. So
I got nothing of those guys, except for good old Hawkinson. Anthony Richardson, you know, I don't hate to say I told you so. He's injured again. Head coach said he will miss some time. That's not too concise, but sounds like he could be headed to the injured reserve. We don't know yet. He just has a giant O beside his name. He has left due to a knee bruise. He's left because of concussion and also a grade 3 AC joint sprain, which is ironic because in grade 3, I sprained my joint. So that was funny.
That's about the only thing you have in common with Anthony Richardson.
our last names and an S-O-N.
Yeah.
Neither of you are playing a lot of professional football this year.
Hand size is not the same.
No, sir. No, certainly not. So I've expressed...
Dave runs a faster 40.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I do.
Not even close.
Oh, I was going to say. I mean, I'm not bad. I mean, I'm a little delusional. I think I'm pretty fast, but...
I've never seen you run, but...
I did a couple K. I did 2K today in 50 minutes, which isn't very good. So... Jay and I, especially I, have expressed concern about the injuries Richardson has endured. I think he has a pretty short shelf life in fantasy, but you guys contested that. What are your thoughts? Obviously, this is, I mean, redraft. You could maybe even just, obviously, if you have a spot in your IR, you stick him there. But for fantasy, does this impact how your feelings towards him and your overall rankings? I know we did rankings for quarterbacks last week. Have you already made some adjustments in there and, you know, or no? Or just, am I, is it too much? Ty?
It doesn't change anything for me, really. My concern with him is kind of, since he's played in the NFL, my only concern with him has been, does he have the accuracy to compete at a high level, which he's shown that he does at times, and can he stay on the field? And so far, he can't stay on the field. And I think that's one of the only things that's, you know, really taking away from his potential to be, you know, a league winner year over year. Will he be a league winner a season? Absolutely. I definitely think he will be. He makes football more fun to watch. The guy's electric, but I don't know, man. They're all different injuries at least.
Yeah.
And none of them are ones that are necessarily going to like hamper his career. Like a knee bruise, he didn't need to get pulled out of that game. Concussion, yeah, that can be kind of serious.
Yeah.
AC joint sprain, that's not going to be a long-term, you know, lasting, impactful injury to him. So,
yeah,
no,
okay.
Not really.
No, not really. Okay, what about you, Ty? Has this affected your feelings towards your Richardson ranking? And be honest.
I think if anybody that's trying to make the case to say that he's so far, he's not injury prone thus far, because he does some injuries in college as well, I think you're kind of kidding yourself. He has shown that he's a bit of that propensity to get injured. But, you know, it's 5 games into his career. You really can't panic over that yet, but you do have to take note of that and, you know, realize that's a thing. That's something that's happening. For me, the concern is just if he does come back and he keeps getting injured, did the Colts try to change up his play style a bit and take away a bit of that upside that he has from rushing, which would be unfortunate, but you know, way too early to jump to any major conclusions. It's just, I mean, this season for me, it's been so much fun to watch Anthony Richardson just go out there as a quarterback and see, you know, Cam Newton out there again and Devon Achane, who I think we're going to talk about next. You know, seeing guys like that just kind of go out and just do different things. It's been so fun. And it just sucks so badly to see the injuries this week.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Devon is down. Man down. Achane is injured. Is expected to be out multiple weeks with a knee injury. He suffered in the win over. They beat the Giants. That's a shocker.
To nobody ever.
I think they could have just put Achane on the field by himself and he probably would have beat the Giants at this point.
Probably. It's not expected to be season ending, so that's good. But they'll evaluate him and see what's going on there. I mean, we have Justin Wilson? Is it Justin? No. I think it's Justin.
Jeff Wilson.
Justin's his older brother, Jeff Wilson Jr. We're going to talk about him because he is on. He's set to come back, I believe. And I want to know what's going on with him. Actually, I want to know what's going on with Senior. What's he going on? I heard he was injured too.
Nobody cares about Senior, Dave. No one ever asks questions about Senior. Everyone's all about Jeff Wilson Jr.
Well, I think he hurt himself too. I think he's on workers' comp. To check into that, though.
He had to close down his pottery shop.
yeah, so that's kind of sad. I mean, I think we all have shares in him on some degree, some level. He's fun to talk about, and he just kept playing really well. And it's like, oh, is this the time that he's just going to settle in and give you that 4-point game? But no, he kept at it. Some good matchups helped, like the Giants. But just like Richardson, we'll have to take a break from the thematics of these players, unfortunately.
Yeah, it seems be the theme this year is if a player is special and has a slightly different build than the prototypical player at that level, he's toast this year. So it's a little bit depressing to watch. He's fun. I mean, they're in the AFC East, so you know, part of me was like, oh no, he's hurt. But the part of me that loves watching fun football died a little bit inside.
Yes, a little bit more dies inside me every day. Now, someone noted in green, I don't know what the hell, make a claim for Amari DeMercado? A, who is that? Yeah. I've never heard of this guy.
DeMercado.
DeMercado. Well, I'm sorry, Jay. Did I get the name wrong?
you made it fancier, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, Connor is out. Connor's gone. He's placed on injured reserve. That's a shame. It's Arizona, if I believe, to be correct. It is. Tell me some facts about this guy. Where is he from? Where has he been? What's he like to do? What's his relationship status? His favorite fruit?
Is it okay if I just keep it to the fantasy football relevant stuff? I don't know about his favorite fruit. I assume dragon.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I was going to say dragon fruit, too. Okay. So it must be.
It's kind of an interesting. Stuff. This is kind of an interesting situation, though, because you had Keontae Ingram kind of started the season as their primary backup in run situations, and then DeMercado was kind of their passing down back. Ingram's missed the last couple of weeks with a neck injury, so DeMercado took over as the primary running back when Connor went down. They didn't look terrible. Cardinals also brought up Corey Clement from the practice squad, the third active running back, but they still used DeMercado in all but one snap over the rest of the game. Clement saw no playing time. He's probably the best player, I think, in this lineup to target for the Cardinals as a player, because even when James Conner comes back or say Ingram gets in the games, he's still there passing down back. So he's still going to play. Injuries aside, he's still going to be a play. And he's another smaller, faster receiving back. And the Cardinals, they're going to be playing from behind in most games. So they're going to be using their passing down back. I like him kind of as a guy to add for the next four games for sure. But he could be a flex play potentially if your team is, you know, not necessarily the best and your flex spot's a little wanting. He could be a good guy to have there.
Well, I think Tony Jones for me, it's his time.
No, it's all about Tony Jones from the off waivers from the New Orleans Saints. He could slide into.
Yeah,
I mean, the Saints' offense has just been so great this year. Absolutely, I'll take anything from there, right?
Hey, Chris Olave got a touchdown tie.
Yeah, about time.
That was nice.
That made me happy.
That's good. Ty's happy. That's good. Should have happened in your childhood. Would have been better timing though. had that happened then.
I'd be a more well-adjusted adult sitting here talking to you guys. But
well, I wonder how Jonathan Taylor's adjusting to his new paycheck. He's on a he signed a 3-year, $42 million contract, ending the stalemate, the game of chess he was playing. He was playing.
Him and Ursa are playing chess.
It's a new game. Involves your
red
chest.
Light, green light. Red light, green light. I don't think Ursa's ever stopped at a red light in his life, whether he's drunk driving or with a woman. That's just the vibe I get from him.
Yeezus, hot take right there.
I mean, not really. It's kind of. I don't think it's that hot of a take if anyone knows who Jim Ursa is.
Okay, it's just a take.
Like, right. If I said that was Mr. Rogers, that would be a hot take.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a lukewarm. Or Mr. Dress-Up, the lesser Mr. Rogers.
I played Mr. Dress-Up many times, Dave.
It's, you shut your whore mouth.
Sorry, my bad. Touched a nerve of the childhood again. I, like probably most people, sat Zach Moss, if I can call him that, on the bench, and he got 30 points. It wouldn't have helped me any. I still won that league anyways because I wasn't playing tie. And people put Taylor in, but man, Moss, he had something to prove. I don't know. He had like the team had like 200 rushing yards, a couple TDs, but that Jonathan Taylor accounted for measly. And I don't use the word measly lightly or often. 6 carries and 18 of those 193 yards were his. So that's interesting. Now he's probably just getting the little feet going, slow and steady, like an old man getting into a bathtub. I mean, I'm not nervous about John Taylor. I'm really excited to have him back on my organization. What are you guys' thoughts around the deal? Is it a good deal? Did he get paid correctly? I mean, $42 million is a fair amount of change.
I think it's a good deal for him. I think it kind of, you know, if you in any way you kind of try to frame it, like he won, his agent won, they held out and they kind of got what they're looking for. It's just such an odd situation. There's like the Colts saying, he's like, oh, we're not going to pay a running back. You don't need to pay a running back. He sits out. They bring in Zach Moss, who proves they
don't
need to pay a running back. Yeah. Just like, this could be done by anybody. Zach Moss walks in, is like, I'm anybody. And he is fantastic. And even last game, he destroyed the Titans' run defense, which is fantastic. Weeks 1-4, the Titans' run defense was allowing 3.1 yards per carry, so 73 rushes for 227 yards. Zach Moss in week 5 went 7.2.
Oh, that's...
So like, he clearly does something to prove. It's just, it's a funny situation. But no, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's elite. We've seen him over the last couple of years. He's one of the most talented runners in the NFL. And, you know, as sad as we were to lose, you know, Justin Jefferson, Devon Achane this week, the injuries, like at least we got Jonathan Taylor back. He was on a pitch count. He was on a snap count this week. He wasn't going to play a lot, but that'll get ramped up and we'll see him get more involved.
Pitch count. Wrong sport, Ty.
Idiot.
Jess, sir. Jay, you got something to add about Taylor?
Yeah. Moss from Zach Moss shares, sell Jonathan Taylor. The proof is in the pudding. No, well, fuck no.
Oh, that's a really hot take.
But, I mean, Zach Moss didn't do anything for his running back brethren, doing what he did for pennies in the dollar there. But no, it's a strange situation right now. Now that they have him for 3 years, are they gonna? I mean, is the team gonna contend? What are they gonna do moving forward? But it's Jonathan Taylor's backfield by the end of the season, obviously. But they're not gonna pay a guy and then not use him.
They will. Yeah. Or
they pay Zach Moss 3 years and $43 million.
Shut up and take my money.
I would handcuff those.
Hot take.
If I'm a Taylor guy, I would probably make sure I would try to get Moss if I can get him when the
dust good handcuff now for sure, yeah.
What do you do if you have Moss right now, though? You don't have Taylor, you have Moss. What do?
Try and trade him to the Taylor owner, I guess.
There's
not much you can
special.
Do. Like, what are you going to do? You hang on to him. You probably can maybe start him once or twice more, but then Jonathan Taylor takes over. Yeah. And you kind of just keep him on your bench and hope for...
An injury.
I'd probably just try to like go to the Jonathan Taylor owner and just be like, look, Mosso played him this week. It's going to be more of a timeshare than you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And just see if you can slide it in there.
Yeah. Just start texting the guy like ads for Florida timeshares and then just send him a Zach Moss trade and see which one he accepts.
I think
that's a good idea.
JT will miss, I think he'll miss some time. He'll miss maybe a week or two. I think he's known to do that. So I think if you have Moss, don't get rid of him for cheap. Hang on to him. And
all running backs end up missing time.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of advice if you want to put out a trade to one of your 20 year league mates. always start it with, I know your team's rebuilding, so this might make sense for you. Or since you're rebuilding, it's really good, especially if the team's in like second place and you're near the bottom. Just be like, since you're rebuilding anyway, just break them down a little bit, show that you're the alpha.
Yeah, there we go. Breece Hall, hello, had a breakout game. He got 30 points for me in my redraft league, but doesn't matter because I played against a couple Bears. So it was a, what a waste, but good for him. I'm happy for him. Don't get me wrong. Don't misconstrue this. His usage went up significantly this week compared to any other week this week. I'm going to tell you right now, 25 touches, 194. David, you got to be honest. Total yards, 26.9 fantasy points, and had 27.7 in the last 4 weeks combined. Dalvin Cook isn't getting the ball very much, which is problematic for people who have him because you need the ball to get points. What do you guys think of his increase of production? Does that tell us that he's feeling okay? His injury's healed? He's fully amended? I think that's the word.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. We knew, like everyone knew coming in, that Breece Hall was going to start with some limitations. Obviously, the Jets, you know, the Aaron Rodgers injury, their offense has looked about as, you know, as well organized as a teen pregnancy. Like it's been a bit of a mess.
I thought you were going to say monkey shit fight, but you just went straight to team pregnancy on that one.
Yeah, I don't know why. My brain kind of just stopped and I got to say something. Kind of want to take that back, but here we are. So we knew it was coming. I think a lot of people saw this this week as being a potential spot where, you know, it was finally going to happen. And then we saw him with 76% of the running back share this week. Previous high was at 57. So we just kind of, we saw this coming.
We did.
Nobody's really surprised by this. Breece Hall is fantastic. He's an awesome running back. It's nice to see, you know, he finally kind of, you know, was able to get out there and kind of, you know, play healthy. And, you know, they took off the water wings, just let him swim.
That's it. Jay, tell me about Michael Carter. I know you're a big fan of him. His role essentially stayed the same, more or less. I know you got a couple shares in him.
No, that's it. You said everything that needs to be said about Michael Carter. Why would you throw that question? Tell me something. Tell me more about Michael Carter, the guy you don't own that you don't give a flying fuck about. Can I tell you about Dalvin Cook and how I should have sold him a year and a half ago?
Okay, fine. Go with Cook if you got to want to talk about Cook. Go ahead.
Cook to me now is almost entirely injury dependent or game script. And let's not be honest, the Jets aren't going to be up a lot in many games. So I don't think Dalvin Cook is going to do much for you this year, unfortunately.
That's too bad. I guess you hang on to him, though. I mean, there's no, you don't want to just get nothing for him because there's still an opportunity for him to be good one day.
Well, in Dynasty, I mean, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah, ship sailed.
I guess you go to the Breece Hall owner and say, I know you're rebuilding.
I know you're rebuilding.
like, what else are you going to do in redraft? I don't know if you even need to hang
just,
on to
just
him.
Just set up stats about running backs that came back from an ACL and had another bad injury. Or find some sort of stat that supports Breece Hall's ACL injury. He's going to kill him or something.
Yeah, it's probably out there.
Or putting it up in Breece Hall, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's options. Please don't. What Jay is saying is there's options. Another man went down, Khalil Herbert, or Hey Bear. No relation to Bobby.
He thinks everyone's French-Canadian in this in the NFL for some reason.
I mean, that's been most of the players, right?
Well, most of the Canadian players.
Just a couple?
Yeah.
That's true. Now, he's expected to miss several weeks. Roschon Johnson left week 5 on Thursday. When he's in a protocol for concussions. Who's left?
Devonta Foreman.
Somebody? Foreman. That's it. Yes. Love Foreman.
Yeah, that backfield's been pretty beat up this year.
Roschon
Johnson left. Khalil Herbert left, and their fullback was taking snaps at running back that game. I mean, they were up by a shit ton, as Dave would know, because he played Ty, and Ty had Justin Fields and DJ. Who'd you have, Ty? Who's the wide
Moore.
Receiver?
Moore.
Fields DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, yeah. I was going to say DJ Chark.
In that league, yes.
Cole Kmet did well. He's sitting on someone's bench, but he had another second strong week from Cole as well. So, yeah.
Let's talk about Roschon Johnson, Dave. I don't talk about Cole Kmet.
Yes. Okay.
Stop sidetracking me. Now, if Roschon Johnson's healthy, this could be his time to kind of eat into a bit of those backfield touches. He is not, I thought he would have taken over probably closer to the end of the season, mid to end of season. Khalil Herbert's looked good this year, though. He's not been the problem in Chicago.
But
if Roschon Johnson clears concussion protocol, which he could because he left in Thursday's game last week and they're playing Sunday this week, so that's a little bit of extra time for him to clear. He's not cleared as of yet, as of recording anyway. But
October 10th.
This might be his time to take that backfield or at least turn it into a, you know, maybe a 1A, 1B scenario by the time Khalil Herbert gets back, because he's definitely more talented than Deonta Foreman.
Yeah.
Well, Khalil Herbert injury, it's the high ankle sprain, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, is it high?
And yeah. I remember seeing somewhere, it was one of the fantasy doctor, Evan Portis, I think his name is on Twitter, saying the high ankle sprain, you either miss no time or you miss 3 weeks. That's kind of the average. So it looks like Khalil Herbert's likely out for 3 weeks. In the next 3 weeks, the Bears play the Vikings, Vegas, and the Chargers. Those are really good spots for the offense to see Roschon Johnson come in and play those games. There is every possibility in the world that he, if he's healthy and he plays, that he ends up taking stake of the at least, you know, 1A, 1B, like he gets himself in there for the running back rotation the rest of the season.
Seems reasonable to me. I mean, the Bears are looking good. Did they win?
Yeah.
They did?
They did.
They've won 2 weeks in a row. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Good for them. Good.
No, look, won, just them. Once. Just the once.
Oh,
just
once. Right. Mike Ditka would be proud, I must say.
Yeah, just the once, yeah.
Well, let's keep the theme going here, guys. We talk about a lot of running backs so far, and I'd like to continue that because it interests me. And you guys have both provided the show with your top 15 running back rankings. Yeah, I took a quick glance at it there. You guys are very similar for a little while, and then you guys deviate from each other a little bit there. It's quite interesting. Obviously, you guys both feel Bijan Robinson is the best. He's only 21, eh? That's great. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then
do you want me to maybe we could each run down our list quickly?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. I think it's there's
sense
there. Like Dave said, we're very similar, but there is some tier changes and some. Mm-hmm. There's one guy I kind of want to talk about in particular in the top three that I think might be a little underrated based on age, but
based sure. on that's giveaway based on age.
Yeah, run them down.
Yeah, let me run down quickly. So for me, tier one, Bijan, obviously, Breece Hall. That's my tier one right there. Bijan's still my number one, and it's a bit of a gap, but I still have those two ahead of everybody else. Tier two for me is McCaffrey and Taylor. McCaffrey strictly because of age, and I think that's, you know, I have a strong inkling that's who Jay was alluding to.
Probably.
Moment ago, which absolutely makes sense. For me, tier three is a bit of a larger one. These guys are all just behind Taylor and McCaffrey for me. Kind of order them however you want. Gibbs, Travis Etienne has been awesome this year. Tank Bigsby. That was probably some unwarranted offseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter.
Yeah, chatter with Tank Bigsby. Etienne's been awesome, but he is a bit injury prone. And if he does get injured, I think Bigsby's an awesome, you know, an awesome handcuff to have. But still, Etienne's been awesome. Achane, Kenneth Walker, Saquon. Saquon again with the injuries. Who knows? But he's just so damn talented. Tier four for me, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, James Cook. Mm-hmm. Tier five, DeAndre Swift. David Montgomery, 3 more years in that contract. Love him on the Lions. Ramondre Stevenson. And then I know we're supposed to do 15, but I'm going to give you a couple extras because the same tier for me, Javonta Williams and Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears will be the Titans running back soon. If you can still buy him in Dynasty, I suggest you go do that.
That's good advice. Very good advice. Jay, take us a rip through yours.
Ty and I, again, we're very close on our rankings. If you look at our rankings versus Fantasy Pros and a couple other sites, we're not super far off on a lot of players. There's a couple of guys, though, that I think, you know, that like Christian McCaffrey, for instance, I have him in tier one with Breece Hall and Bijan. I think there's no reason I take that guy out of tier one. Even if you're starting up a league this year, he's not that far off. He's 27, but have you ever seen a running back that could just become a wide receiver later in his career if he starts to have a little bit of a hard time staying on the field? Like, I just feel like he's either going to play one more year and out, or he's going to be 32, and you'll be like, man, I can't believe I got 5 more years of Christian McCaffrey. This is crazy. So yeah, I still absolutely like Christian McCaffrey more than Bijan and Breece Hall. Like, he's still a better player, I think, overall in a better situation than both of those players. Is he a better,
right now he is, yeah,
like, really pure running back? Probably not. But it's debatable. And 27, yeah, he's got some miles in the tires. He's done a lot of work, but
he's a workhorse.
I feel like this year we talked about it last week where, like, you know, you had in redraft, people had Christian McCaffrey behind Ja'Marr Chase. And if you did that, you probably we didn't win a couple weeks this year because you made that choice. So McCaffrey for me, it's debatable. I think those three guys, if you want to, you know, you want to stand for McCaffrey, go for it. But I'm still putting Bijan and Breece Hall ahead of them, but it's with an asterisk. My tier two is a little bigger. I have Jonathan Taylor. I still have Jahmyr Gibbs in there because he's 21. He's 21, first round draft capital on a good offense in a good system. You just have to be patient. Or he's DeAndre Swift all over again. That's my biggest fear.
Let's hope not.
I have Ken Walker in there, which I'm a little hesitant on.
I'm surprised to see that.
I really like Zach Charbonnet, and I think he, as far as PFF grades go, he's graded out as a better running back this year. But Ken Walker is still in a great situation. If you have the top running back in the Seattle offense, it's never a bad thing. They tend to do running backs well. And I have Saquon in tier two because, I mean, I just. His talent alone for me is just he's as talented as anybody in the NFL. He's 26 now, so he's getting up there in age, but I had a harder time putting him with, the ETNs, the AHNs, the Pollards of the world that I have in tier three. I don't like his situation, and he's one that I probably will drop in the coming weeks, but I had him in tier two. And then I have, for tier three, I have ETN, AHN, Pollard, Josh Jacobs, and Austin Eckler. Again, Austin Eckler, Ty's got him at 12 as well. My tier three is a little more generous than his, even. My tier two, even more so. I only have a couple guys in tier five. But, I mean, Austin Eckler's going to win you leagues. He's won you leagues many times. And for the rest of season? Rest of season, he's a league winner. Like an absolute league winner rest of season. And if you're...
Yes, sir.
And you, even in Dynasty, it's great to have 22-year-old players. But if you have all 22-year-old players, you're probably not that consistent. You're probably not winning week over week. If you have Austin Eckler on your team... You're probably going to win when he's playing. Achan, I put him my start of season rankings versus where he is now. He's my biggest climber. Even Etienne, I wasn't sold on Etienne. He's looked great. Slice and dice the Bills this week. Josh Jacobs, I think, is a bit underrated too. Tony Pollard scares me the most in this group. His value is 26. I got him in tier three. I got him at 10. His value, I don't think, is going to be higher than it is right now or this season. The Dallas offense is a bit in flux right now. And then in my fourth tier, I got started with, you can mix and match guys any way you like. James Cook, Javonte Williams. I think a lot of people have dropped him a little too far. I still think he's 23. He's got a ton of talent. If he stays on the field, maybe we'll see something out of him. But he's dropped for me too.
Maybe.
Swift, he could be, Jahmyr Gibbs could be Swift 2.0. Let's hope the Lions don't do that to him. But you've seen what he could do in an offense that uses him correctly. And I got Tajay Spears at 16. He's my bonus guy. I love Tajay Spears. He's looked great. He's looked better than Henry this year. I think it's his backfield to take eventually. And then bonus, I got David Montgomery and then Ramondre. Ramondre's dropped a shit ton for me. I don't...
Yeah, what's going on with Ramondre Stevenson, guys? I think maybe we'll
get into that a little bit, right?
Yeah. Jeez, Murphy.
He's not good, Dave.
he's just not good.
No, he hasn't been good.
Most New England Patriots. I mean,
he was last year, though.
Not.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He was, but stop living the past. Ty, it's it. It's it but for him. He's done. Get him off your list.
This season.
He's on Ty's fifth top 15. Come on.
He's in mine, too, but.
No. He's 18 for you.
He's in most people's top 15, though.
He's 15. Okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to give Ty a hard time, okay?
I just want to know. what would you do with him? Because 68 attempts in the year, 188 yards, and a 2.76 yards per attempt. The worst part is this guy used to get receiving work. Key word, though, used to get receiving work. 12 receptions and 87 yards in the season and zero in week five. New England is a dumpster fire, and I don't see that changing until next season at best.
That's where fantasy players go to die. Elliott, I don't know how relevant he's been. Obviously, he's not on anyone's lists.
Well, he's old.
Schuster... Mac Jones, putting up, depending on your scoring type, negative numbers in some cases.
Number one in dick taps.
Yeah, yizers. So yeah, it's just, I mean, as a former Patriots fan, it's bleak. It's bleak
they
in
made
New
some
England.
Interesting decisions there recently. I mean, Zeke's gotten the ball probably more than some of us expected, but the running backs, it's tough to be relevant when you're getting your ass kicked and they've scored 3 points over the last 2 weeks.
That's my advice.
But bringing in Juju and letting Jacoby Myers go, who's just tearing it up in Oakland, tearing it up as much as a Jacoby Myers can. he's been awesome.
A Raider like, can. It's not named Davante Adams, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even Davante Adams what was that game? Monday night? What day? Tuesday? Last night.
October 9th.
Yeah. barely used.
Oh, that's sad.
So odd. But with Ramondre Stevenson, what do you do? I don't know. I don't think, like, you don't try to sell low. You wait for a big week if it happens.
Okay.
But you're probably not selling either. I think he's just in Dynasty. I think if you have him, you're just, you know, you ride him out as an RB2. You hope he kind of retains some value there and, you know, hope for the best.
I think he's a hold. He's a hold for me, I think, at the moment. I don't think you're going to get money on him right now.
No. I am curious. It was interesting. Now that you guys had Kyren Williams in your top 17, 18.
That's fucking high for him, man.
I know, but he just, I don't know. Maybe he's the real deal. How old is he? I think he's 22, 23. I have no idea.
Yeah, he's young. He's only been in the league a couple of years. For me, I don't.
You need more sample size? A bigger, you know, no, you need some more time?
HN is smaller sample size.
Yeah, HN's been electric. With Kyren, I think, I don't want to take anything away from the guy. He was good in college, and he's been doing a very good job this year with the Rams offense.
Then what is it?
But I just don't think he's that good of an athlete.
Okay.
And I know this is kind of a hot topic. You see on Twitter, you know, people will be debating it, be like, oh, you didn't watch him in college if you don't think he's a good athlete. But I mean, you know, he's not that big. He's not that fast. If you look at fewest rushing yards over exception per attempt this season so far. So fewest rushing yards over expectation, per attempt. So we're going into some kind of next gen stuff, and it's from next gen stats. Lowest would be Cam Akers, Dalvin Cook, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon, Ramondre Stevenson, Rashad White, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kyren Williams, Javonte Williams, Justice Hill. To me, other than Javonte Williams, who I do like, I think Denver's a pretty bad offense. Like, these are a lot of guys that just aren't doing anything more than what is blocked for them or kind of what's right in front of them. And he's one of those guys for me that, as long as he's in that role, great. But I think that role could be usurped fairly easily. So while he's gone up from someone that I barely
knew,
really even cared about in Dynasty, to someone that he's a must start every week, he's not someone that I'm, you know, putting into my top 20, probably just outside, though.
I'm pretty sure at the start of the season I said Cam Akers only has Kyren Williams pushing him from behind. That's not an issue. Well,
yeah. I'm just saying, you got Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. You got Stevenson on there and not Kyren. I don't know.
Stevenson was a highly regarded talent coming out of college. Kyren Williams fell into the role. And I think Kyren Williams, to me, feels a lot like James Robinson. Feels like somebody who is going to be very fantasy relevant for a year or two. And then he might fade away. Or, you know what? I hope he doesn't. I got a couple shares. I hope he has some staying power. But to me, he feels a lot like a James Robinson.
That's a good way to put it.
Where is he now?
What happened to him? I felt like he...
Yeah, he's clunking around a bit in training camp and stuff. I don't think he's...
I thought he changed his name to Brian.
Maybe.
I honestly thought he changed his name to Brian because I don't know where Brian Robinson came from either. Like, who's this guy?
No, Brian Robinson was like a third round pick.
I was going to say.
James was
That's right. Yeah.
Brian Robinson wasn't a UDFA.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm just saying, believe A.J. Dillon. Well, I don't want to talk about him because he's not very good.
He's not really.
I'm going to do my best David impression.
Someone that is, though.
Can you believe that Najee Harris isn't on there?
Oh, wow.
He's terrible.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's not great.
That's a fall far from grace for the old boy. I mean, I've been starting Warren every week, and he's just getting yards. He's not getting in the end zone, but he's just putting up, you know.
He's involved in a bad offense.
He's involved. Yeah, obviously, you don't want him. He's not your guy, but I mean, if he could be your bye week filler, cover maybe an injury here and there. He's been pretty solid, and with any luck, he'll get even better.
PPR, he's got some relevance for sure. Absolutely. But here's this is just a funny stat that I like. Devon Achane in 47 touches. 47 touches this year, had 103.7 fantasy points. I think that's half PPR. Najee Harris, 68 touches, 33.4. That just, obviously, you can pick and choose those type of stats to make look like the way you want it to. I just thought that was.
Runs. You know what, Ty? You could take most running backs in the NFL and look at the touches and yards and then go, and Najee Harris. And it still looks bad. You don't have to take the guy who lit the league on fire for 3 weeks. You can look at anybody in the Kyren Williams.
Tolbert.
Mike Tolbert.
Who's still playing. Bolstering touchdowns.
And if you watch carefully, you can still see Trent Richardson finishing a 10-yard run.
I like Trent Richardson. He made me feel fast.
He really did.
He also he stuck in some interesting notes about DeAndre Swift too, which I mean I liked him since we talked about him when he was getting drafted. so far long ago. Feels like just yesterday, but I think it's like, what, 4 years now? I think.
Jeez. Yeah, he's at the end of it. One of the reasons Swift, if I can go back to just the rankings, when we talk about Swift here, I have him a little lower than I think I like him at, just because his contract is expiring at the end of the season. Uh-oh. David Montgomery, Ty and I both had a little higher, I think, but not because of how well he's done, but the fact that he's got a 3-year contract to play for the Lions, which has been great for him so far.
In a good spot.
Yeah, so Swift, if he sticks in Philly, I'm very excited. But, you know, these guys, like we've seen, have a hard time getting contracts. So if his contract is in a bad situation, he's got to chase the bag because that's the only bag he's going to get his entire career. Then he could end up in a bad situation again.
Hmm. Absolutely true. But Swift, we didn't really mention it earlier, but I think for me, he was one of the significant risers, just because 100%. Heading into the season with the Eagles, it looked like a pretty bad situation. Gainwell looked like he was going to be the starter. They had Rashad Penny there. Mm-hmm. Everybody was kind of saying, "Don't draft Swift and redraft and dynasty. See if you can get rid of him." It's no man's land. But in the 4 games since he became the lead back, he's averaging 107 rushing yards per game, 18 receiving yards, 5.69 touches per game. I mean, that sure as hell plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that keeps that going, then hey.
I'm just happy for him. I'm just, you know, all fantasy aside, I'm just happy for the lad. He's doing wonderful. I love it. And another guy, Travis Etienne, again, I know you guys already talked about him, but I don't know. He's explosive.
Slippery.
He looks like, covered exactly.
In olive oil.
Yeah, so he avoids a lot of tackles, which is very important in the game of football, is not to get tackled. All right. I think that's it for the running backs, fellas. I think we'll move on to a classic segment called Dynasty Buy and Sell.
Hey, welcome to Dynasty Buy and Sell. You know, back in my day, we could get a running back, a moon pie, and a news wheel for only a nickel. All right.
So, Dynasty Buy and Sell, kind of, I'm going to throw in there rental. You know, sometimes we like to rent people because we don't really, you know, want them long term. Maybe just want them for a couple of weeks, like a kicker or a defense.
Or any of my relationships.
Really, yes.
In all fairness, they're renting me. I'm not renting them.
They're renting you, and you're, you know, you're a good rental.
Price per pound, Dave. I'll tell you. Quite a bargain.
Yeah, so we'll just go, I don't want to go through like the list here, but I'm really curious to hear what you guys got on for some buys and some sells and some rentals. Is there a big name right now that you are really would advise people to sink your teeth into and buy if he's available? Like, is there somebody that really stands out from the rest?
A big name?
No big names really.
No big names?
Some names. No. I mean, some long names. Do you want like a long name? Like lots of characters?
Or like a name that sounds like he's a big fella. Let's go with that. I don't know.
Jason Kelce. His podcast is taking off. His brother's dating Taylor Swift.
Life is good for the Kelces.
Yeah.
His mom's dating Zach Wilson.
But she likes Jimmy Garoppolo better.
Who doesn't?
Could be better than Kardashians. The Kelces.
Who's a better quarterback? I guess Jimmy?
Well, here's
Jimmy,
type. Let's start with the situation that nobody really wants to touch right now.
Yeah,
you want to start with a gross one?
Yeah, let's go
Dave
gross.
Asked for a
let's
big name, but I got kind of a gross one, I think, to start with.
Yeah,
For me, it's by Chuba Hubbard, and you know, cheap for a reasonable price. And sell Miles Sanders if you can. I think a lot of people have been kind of reporting on this, but so far this year, Chuba Hubbard's looked better. He's looked decent, and he didn't have the greatest start to his NFL career. Didn't have the greatest final year in college either when he was playing with Oklahoma. He looked really good in his second last year there. But it seems like he's kind of maybe putting it together a little bit better this year, and Miles Sanders just has not looked great in Carolina. I know he was injured. He came back last week. There was no limitations through practices, so I don't know if he's still injured or not. But if you look at Sanders on the year, yards per carry is at 3.1%. His PFF grade is 47.9. Compare that to Hubbard, 4.4 yards per carry. PFF rush grade is at 82.1, which is 7th best in the NFL. Like, Hubbard's actually, he's shown some explosiveness. And that's kind of what we saw out of him in college, where he looked like he was this, you know, this great, maybe a bit of a straight line runner, but a great straight line runner. So he's showing a bit of that. He's getting involved in, you know, quite a few situations. So it really doesn't seem impossible that Hubbard becomes the 1A Well, Sanders is the 1B in what is a fairly shitty timeshare, but still,
mm-hmm.
you know, a time, you know, you have a starting running back. You have to look at that. And I don't think anyone's going to be asking you for a first round pick for Chuba Hubbard. So if you need running back depth, maybe have a look. And if you maybe have Miles Sanders, maybe a sell on the name. I don't know. I liked him as an Eagle.
It's kind of weird too. It's almost like they played a little Freaky Friday. Because originally we thought Miles Sanders was going to be the, you know, the earlier down back, and then you'd have Chuba Hubbard kind of, you know, change of pace back, maybe play some catching downs. And it's kind of been the opposite the last couple of weeks. So I'm with you on that, Ty.
Which one's Jamie Lee Curtis?
Was it Lindsay Lohan the other one? who's got
Miles
out of
the Jamie then?
Jamie Lee, I guess. Jay, let me give you a scenario here. You are this doesn't really happen to you, but you are a contender.
Fuck off.
In the redraft.
I lost every week in every league last week. Never
have to use your imagination on this one.
Yeah, can you think of a running back that you would target if you are contending that somebody who's maybe rebuilding might want to move on from, maybe a little bit older? Can you think of, is there somebody there?
I want to buy?
Yeah, you want to buy. Older. You're a contender. Well, not necessarily older, but maybe somebody might be selling them, and he might be somebody you might be keeping your eyes on that can really put you over the top.
No, but I mean, I would be selling Derrick Henry if I wasn't contending.
Oh, I see. You're more comfortable to go with.
I'm not interested in buying Derrick Henry. Is that the running back you're alluding to?
No.
I think it might have been Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert?
It might be Mostert. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Okay. No, I'm interested in Raheem Mostert. As much as I'm interested, always been interested in Raheem Mostert. That situation is great. I do love the way he's played this year outside of the Buffalo game. Achan being gone for a couple games is definitely going to help that. Jeff Wilson Jr. is potentially coming back. That might hamper him a little bit. But I think Raheem Mostert, he's going to cost you quite a bit. That's the only downside. But he is old. And he's not Christian McCaffrey old. He's actually old. What is he, 31?
He's 31.
Yeah, so 31-year-old running back. Achan's the sexy name now. I think just Achan playing the way he played, regardless of what happened, kind of helped drop Raheem Mostert's value a little bit. But if you're a contender and you're looking to add a guy that if he stays healthy, is going to potentially win you weeks, he's not a bad name to look at. And always tell a guy, hey, you're rebuilding. And hey, your team's not good.
Exactly.
He's 31. What do you want? Fourth round pick for him? Fifth?
I'm doing you a favor.
Doing you a favor here. This landmine off your roster. No, he's definitely good to look at.
Okay. Now, Jay, you alluded to selling Derrick Henry. Do you love Ty J. Spears that much?
I love Ty J. Spears, Dave.
You do. Yeah. And that'd be more like you're sort of rebuilding, and you're probably selling Henry to somebody who might be making one last push. You guys still think he's going to move?
Yeah, I could see him being traded, but I mean, trades just don't happen in football as often as some other sports.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's facts.
So you never know, but I mean, Derrick Henry, if you look at his fantasy points this season, in wins 21.4 fantasy points per game and losses 8.4. Titans are 2-3 right now. I don't know how much better it's going to get in Tennessee. I mean, you never know in the NFL. That's one of the reasons I love the NFL is because there's quite a bit of parity in the regular season and kind of anything can happen. But as of right now, it doesn't look like the Titans are going to be a world beater this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Henry in losses is just not that effective, which makes sense. He's not a huge pass catcher.
No, he's not. Never has been.
And Spears, he's outsnapped Derrick Henry in 3 of 5 games this year, and he's outscored him in 2 of 5, which is kind of crazy. We did not see that coming in.
No.
Into the season. As much as we really like Tajay Spears coming into the season, we just figured he's going to have to wait out this entire year before he gets a chance. Apparently not.
His time is now.
Yeah, it seems he's kind of flex-worthy now. So for Derrick Henry, if I have Derrick Henry, I'm looking to sell kind of regardless of my team. If I have a contender, you know, I might look for something a little bit different out of him as opposed to if you're a struggling team and you have Derrick Henry, you definitely want to get what you can. You know, if I get a young player for him, if I can take say like a Kendre Miller from the Saints, I would take him straight up for Derrick Henry and be very happy with that if my team is not contending. If my team's contending, I might look to, see maybe you swap him out with another contender and see if you can address a different position or depending on your roster construct.
Seems reasonable. Now, is there a guy that you would want to sell, say, this week as an example, who had an incredibly big week, maybe even a bigger name too, and you're going to take advantage of it and sell them?
I got one. I don't know if Jay
wants to go. Same one.
Well, actually, two tight ends I'm thinking of, but George Kittle for me is probably somebody I'd be looking to sell in all formats, dynasty, redraft. He's awesome. Why? Tight end. One of the best tight ends in the league. No denying it. Just he's volatile for fantasy. And I just don't really want that. I don't need that. I want a little stability on my roster.
That's fair. You don't have it in real life. You want it on the fantasy team.
Exactly.
Or both. Maybe you want to get greedy. You want stability in your personal life and your fantasy life.
Well, you know, to each their own. But for me, George Kittle, he's a sell. 13 games since Purdy became the starter. Kittle's averaging more than 30 receiving yards in only four of those games. So it just seems like the other options have kind of stepped up in some games. And then Kittle's just going to go nuclear for a couple of games. Mm. So best ball, sure. Love him in best ball.
Well, worst ball, not so much.
Yeah. And, you know, most other fantasy formats, he's not really for me. But he's 17% target share this year, which is actually a little bit better than it had been previously. Mm-hmm. When Purdy started some games last year, but
he gets 67 yards. He gets them all in one game. He gets all his touchdowns in one game, and then that's it. He doesn't see the red zone for a while.
It's probably a good time to put him out there and see what he can get.
It's a busy offense, too. There's a lot of mouths to feed there.
And luckily they're very hungry, though. But, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with Ayuk's numbers. He's doing pretty good. Samuels seems to be doing all right, so, yeah. Jay, was that the same guy, or do you have anybody else that you were thinking of selling after big week?
I was thinking Kittle or Pitts. One of the two kind of stuck out.
Pitts?
Yeah.
Pitts?
He finally had a game where he received multiple targets. That's kind of nice. Season high in targets of 11, receptions of 8, yards of 87. Fantasy points?
So you want to sell him to a contender?
15.7,
maybe,
yeah. Very much so. Now, it's kind of weird to sell. Mm. Like, selling tight ends is tough because there's not a lot of... I mean, there is a market because there's so few tight ends that actually produce. But he's one that was supposed to hyper-produce. And until they have a quarterback there that can reliably get him the ball and he isn't necessarily in double coverage on a regular basis, he's not maybe the guy to have. Kyle Pitts, 3 career touchdowns over 32 games. Sam Laporta, 3 touchdowns in 5 games. Like, would you trade Kyle Pitts for Sam Laporta?
Yes, sir.
Would the Sam Laporta owner trade you Sam Laporta for Kyle Pitts?
I would hope so, but probably not.
At the start of the year, because you have gotten... I don't know. Sam Laporta had a pick for Kyle Pitts.
Oh, bad. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
And Musgrave is kind of looking. Musgrave's kind of looking like he kind of looks like the guy we saw in college who didn't really have much wiggle after he caught the ball. He just kind of caught and fall.
Luke Musgrave.
He seems like he's a catch and fall tight end. Yeah. So I'm a little bit off of him. So this rookie class, Kincaid is amazing. I love Kincaid, but Knox is a really good tight end too. And Josh Allen's
Kincaid's not getting
spreading
used
the ball. Well, Kincaid's been used as a distraction route to get Diggs the ball more. That's the problem. So until I don't know when he's going to be as fantasy relevant as we hoped he'd be, or if he ever will be. But he's got the talent for sure. But Knox is still pretty fucking good. He's not a bad receiving tight end. So Laporta looks like he's the steal of the rookie class. And I mean, him and Hawkinson are the two guys I really want to own right now. Kelsey's showing his age a bit this year in another lineup a little bit, but I don't know.
Goddard's, he's all over the place. He finally had a good week, but he's
squeaky
just,
wheel gets the grease, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you watched any Brock Bowers this year, though, in college?
He looks pretty fucking good.
He might go top like 3 in the draft. Like, I think he might be my tight end 1 now if he could rank
him.
Like...
This year's Kyle Pitts.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
is that good?
Hey,
that's true.
I'm gonna name off a few wide receivers, and I'm gonna tell you a guy who's doing better than that because I felt bad about I drafted this guy by mistake. Anyways, Michael Pittman Jr. I love him. DK Metcalf, whatever, he's good though. Jalen Waddell, Devonta Smith, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, CD Lamb. A guy named Marquise Brown is doing better through 5 weeks. He's averaging more points per game than those fellas. And I grabbed him by mistake, and he's done well. I mean, he hasn't started for me, which isn't necessarily every week because I don't. But, I mean, maybe I should be. So Is that a guy you might target if you're looking to bring home a championship? Obviously, maybe not. Obviously, if you're not a contender, I don't think you'd be looking at him. But say you are contending and you got a spot, you want to be a little stronger at the wide receiver or flex position. Are you looking at him? Or just somebody else you'd rather maybe instead of him that's in the sort of same situation?
I mean, there's other players I would rather. For me, he's kind of similar to that, to like a Jacoby Myers, where it's underrated, strong buys, and play pretty well. And if you're looking at wide receiver 32 in Dynasty for Marquise Brown, at least according to Fantasy Pros, he's the wide receiver 14 this year. He's one of those kind of, getting some Tyler Lockett vibes, where it just, he's always underrated and it seems to kind of outperform his ADP.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to make a trade for him at around what his ADP would have been coming into the year, which you might still be able to do, because I don't think anybody really gives a shit about Marquise Brown.
Hey, now. So, his mom does.
Well, I'm sure his family does. But I mean, in fantasy, like, I don't think anybody's, no, I have to hold on to this guy. And same as Jacoby Myers. Then I think they're potentially good investments. I don't know. Jay, what do you think of these fellas?
I mean, it shows you how weird this year's been when you look at the guys that he's done better than. Like, Pittman Jr., I'm not entirely shocked. Rookie quarterback coming in. CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, CeeDee must be on the lamb because Dak Prescott can't fucking find him. Garrett
redraft by CeeDee Lamb right exactly. Now. I'm just saying. Buy him if you can't redraft.
Garrett Wilson's quarterback snapped mm-hmm. his Achilles. Chris Olav, that's New Orleans Saints, seems a bit a little dysfunctional. Devonta Smith, we all know what he's playing with. Jalen Waddell is the one that surprises me the most. He kind of looks like the odd man out a lot of the times in Miami right now. I still have a lot of hope for him. And DK, well, kind of is what it is right now in Seattle. The offense isn't really clicking. But Marquise Brown, absolutely, he's a buy for me. I think no matter how well he does, I think you're still going to get. He's one of those guys that had kind of question marks around him coming into the NFL. And no matter what he does, those question marks are still kind of there. You know, it's kind of like that player that, if they tell you Alvin Kamara hasn't really produced much in the last couple of years, he's still Alvin Kamara. Marquise Brown has produced, mm-hmm. and he's still Marquise Brown. So his value
is true.
A little lower than it should be, so I would definitely be a buy.
On Jacoby Myers, I just want to add here, sorry to cut you off. I don't know if you're done, Jay, but Jacoby Myers, 10 plus targets and 15 plus fantasy points in every game this season, except for the one that the rookie started, O'Connell.
Oh, wow. Didn't realize
that's
that.
That's pretty damn impressive. He's on pace for 1,000 yards.
That's serviceable, for sure.
I mean, if you're looking at these kind of wide receivers that are known to the fantasy community, but they're not huge names, they're not going to be a league winner, but could just be kind of a solid addition on a bad offense. Now, I think Jacoby Myers and Hollywood are, two guys that definitely worth checking out, seeing if you do need some wide receiver depth.
Yeah,
they do a lot worse.
And Jacoby, sorry, Dave. Jacoby might be the sneakiest 1,000-yard receiver of all time, though. Like, you go back, that guy? 1,000 yards?
Sneaky.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He's very sneaky in general, too. He just pops up out of nowhere. He's one of those sidlers. Very sneaky. There's a guy who actually, you spoke of league winners, and there's a guy that won me a league a couple of years ago. Actually, probably longer. It's been a while, but he's still playing. And I'm wondering I'm looking at some numbers of a guy named Adam Thielen, and you put week one aside, this guy's putting up like absolutely fantastic numbers. Yep. He's finding the end zone.
He's my main.
Is that somebody you might target?
He's my main buy as far as wide receivers
okay.
go. Because he's old. His value is not what it should be as for this season. Like even in redraft, like I picked him up off waivers in redraft after week two. He put up 20 points.
I think
Someone dropped him in redraft. He put up 20 points, and he put up nothing the week before. Maybe they thought, well, it's a one-off. But he's still a good receiver. Last year, he was horrendous in Minnesota. So that's kind of helping his numbers a little bit there. But he's under contract, and he's playing with a rookie. He's a trusted wide receiver. Week one, he had 12 yards, 2 of 2, for 3.2 points. This is for PPR, of course. Week two, 7-9, 54 yards and a touchdown, 20.5 points. Week three, 11 for 14, 145, a touchdown and 32 points almost. Week four, 7 of 8, 76 yards, no touchdowns, but 15 points. And then week five, 11 for 13, 107 and 27.7. Tell me that does not play in PPR, boys.
That's not that plays. I think you really can't undercut the fact that in pretty much any form of fantasy, there's some a lot of fantasy players, they just don't want to own certain people. They're just not that fun.
It's him.
But you know what? Give me the 20 points every single week. Like that's someone you'll have in your lineup every single week, and you can get him for next.
He's wide receiver 10 too, in half point and full point PPR.
That's nuts. Yeah, like it's not the sexiest thing, but I mean, you know, he's a bit older, but I mean, Helen Mirren's still pretty sexy if you ask me.
Hi.
Now, what do you think he costs? Oh, that Dame Helen Mirren. Oh yeah, yes, absolutely. Very much so. What do you think he costs? What do you think it takes to get him?
Oof.
Not a first.
Late
not
second?
A first.
Third?
Second or third?
Late second, third, maybe. Yeah, maybe just another roster player you have that's a few years younger that you don't really give
a
shit about.
What about a wide receiver that's disappointed that was maybe a first-round rookie pick from previous years? Would you do one of those, like a Trey Burks?
Seems like a lot. I'd have to be very certain of my contention.
If I was 4-1 or 5-0, I might do it.
It depends. You can look at some 4-1 rosters and you think this team could lose
like
three
Dave's
games in a row, and then
exactly.
I
hate it.
He's got actually, teams, actually.
I dropped Adam Thielen. I think Jay in the 2QB. I don't know how you acquired him, but it might have been just because he might have been available. Yeah. Yeah, I dropped them.
That's a keeper league. It's not a full dynasty roster.
Yeah,
so.
It's a full. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I'm looking at my teams. Like, yeah, probably. I mean, I got Atwell. Yeah, sure, Atwell is pretty young, but I don't know. Well, I am a contender.
As soon as I said I picked him up waivers because some idiot dropped him, Dave's like, shit, I fucking dropped him.
He had to check his on pulled photo, and he's like, oh.
He won me. Yeah, he won me a league. Him and Eckler won me that league. He was just hitting on all cylinders. And
still is, Dave. Still is.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was wrong on that one. I'll admit it. I'll admit it right there, right on live radio.
All right. I got one more buy.
Yeah, please, please.
We have time. The sponsors aren't, the producers are not telling us to get off the air just yet. I got one more buy, and I know Jay and I both put some notes for this guy into the doc.
Josh, who is it? Oh, who's that?
Rookie wide receiver. I think the worst part about doing this show sometimes is we'll put somebody out there and then all of a sudden we'll look at Dave's roster.
He's on there immediately.
He's added him in the draft or he's got a trade out for him. It's like, yeah. You know, we may not reach the masses with this podcast, but I think we're helping Dave.
You reach me. Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
So. Actually, you're doing better than we are in some leagues, so maybe you got to help us a bit more.
Yeah, really.
But Josh Downs, rookie wide receiver, third round pick. He's playing in Indianapolis.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Wasn't super highly regarded despite having some great athleticism, you know, for whatever reason. Wide receiver 53 on Fantasy Pros Dynasty rankings, and that's only using anyone that had kind of updated over the last month, so that's kind of nuts to me. And I think with the Anthony Richardson injury, you might be able to go in and buy a wide receiver there for any kind of casual fans. Although, you know, playing with Gardner Minshew, you know, we're going to look at Colts targets with Gardner Minshew this year. Target shares. Michael Pittman's at 30%. Josh Downs at 25.3%. So he's actually been doing quite well with Gardner Minshew, who's likely going to be in there for a couple of weeks. And he had a pretty good rapport with Anthony Richardson, who should be their quarterback going forward for whatever games that he's actually around. So I think, you know, anybody that's succeeding this young, this early into their tenure in the NFL, I want to get involved in that. I want to get a share of that if I can. And the cost is still not going to be crazy.
I'm down with it. Josh Downs.
Josh Downs. Cool. Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that's who was the guy that was the number two there that seemed to do well week here and there? Number two to Pittman last year. What happened
number
to him?
To Pittman?
Was it what? Alec Pierce? T.Y. Hilton?
Paris Campbell?
No.
Paris Campbell. He sucks.
No. There's there is another guy and I picked him up. He had a couple of really good weeks and he just kind of fizzled away. I don't know where he ended up, but I'll figure it out and I'll let you know next episode. Don't worry about that.
I wait with bated breath. I got one more guy real quick, Dave. Now, this isn't really a buy. Yeah. This isn't really a sell. This isn't really an anything. It's a keep an eye on. So keep your peepers on Zach Charbonnet.
Charbonnet, yeah, I like a good
Charbonnet. We talked about, you know, Ken Walker's up pretty high in most people's rankings, up very high in some people's rankings.
Too high, if you ask me.
Well, maybe Dave, maybe, because the Seattle climate is always very particular towards running backs, and Charbonnet has actually played very well in limited opportunities. Last week on Monday Night Football, he gained 31 yards and 5 carries. That sells. It's not a lot of work. But he's actually graded out better than Kenneth Walker has, the third, by the way, but on a lot smaller sample, averaging more yards per carry, first down percentage is higher, turn a lot more of his runs into explosive runs. And just like, unlike poops, you want less explosive poops, more explosive runs.
Yes. Speak for yourself.
DJ yes. Dallas's snaps are decreasing week over week, which is good news for both these guys.
About fucking time.
With Zach Charbonnet, he was drafted pretty highly. But his usage isn't what some people thought it was when they drafted him. So some people might be souring on him a little bit, but the actual people that pay attention to the numbers and all the stats and have a PFF subscription will see that he's actually been quite good. And there's no guarantee he delivers any standalone value this year, but I like to take chances on highly drafted rookies that are playing well.
I'm just going to say, Kenneth Walker has been quite good this year. He's been better than I thought he would be. Last season, he looked pretty good overall, but it was a lot of big plays. He'd knock off a massive run all of a sudden, but most of the game he was just kind of gaining nothing or losing yards. There was a lot of kind of wasted runs with Kenneth Walker. So I thought Charbonnet would come in and have a role, maybe a bit too early, maybe it was a bit too enthusiastic. But I honestly think that Zach Charbonnet might still end up being as good or potentially slightly better runner than Kenneth Walker. And I think this will become a bit of a shared backfield at some point. I don't know when, but I still see that as a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did spend. I mean, if they loved Ken Walker, why did they go and draft this guy so highly? You know, there's something there, right?
Yeah, third round pick
there.
Yeah.
So
it's not a bad idea to have two running backs, regardless. Like every team wants to have two or three running backs now, but.
That's the NFL, though, right?
Just the fact that he's shown well in limited sample size. Like, it's as a running back, it's tough to show well in limited sample. Like, sometimes you go, oh, it's a limited sample size. Well, it's tough to show well in a limited sample size because it's a position that it's almost musical. Like, it has to have a rhythm to it. And when you don't get in enough to get that rhythm going, if you're doing stuff with that, that's usually pretty impressive. Like, we saw James Cook, who looked fucking phenomenal against Miami, just not get in any rhythm at all against Jacksonville and just run into people. And like, if they can't get that run going and limit on 5-6 touches a night, like, they're not going to get it going. Right. And he's done well with his limited time.
Excellent. Now I do have one. This is a big question. It's a segment called Who Should I Start? I just made it up. You say you have a guy named Joshua Dobbs and Minshew. Who do you start?
Wait, in like a super flex?
No, starting quarterback. Shut up. Starting quarterback. Starting quarterback.
Oh, Josh Dobbs. Sorry, Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs. Yes, Josh Dobbs. Or Minshew.
Is this in a...
I was thinking Josh Downs.
Redraft or Dynasty? Superflex?
Who do you start next week? No. Okay. Well, yeah.
That makes sense Superflex. Why you have those two guys and there's nobody else better on the fucking waiver.
I would hope so if he's got those two guys. Yeah.
I got Hurts in the
Who
number
are they
one
playing?
For my, but the other quarterback. Well, Dobbs is playing the Ram, LA. Yeah. Sorry, he's playing one of the LA teams. Yeah. Doesn't specify. And Minshew is playing Jacksonville.
Oof.
The Jags.
I'm going to go Dobbs.
I'm starting Dobbs. Yeah.
Dobbs? Okay. And this leads me into my second question. This is kind of a segue. Logan Thomas or Kincaid? Who would you start?
Okay. I'm actually kind of glad you brought this up. I wanted to put Logan Thomas actually as a buy. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
He's a bit older, tons of injuries, but he's been good.
Yeah.
There's no way the targets are going to kind of maintain what we've seen over the last week. But that being said, yeah.
Logan Thomas can start Kincaid right now.
he's questionable.
He's not an end zone target. Like, and he's not getting, like, as long as, if Knox is injured, you can probably fire up Kincaid a little better. But as of right now, he's not getting the volume and he's not getting the end zone looks. So.
I don't think he's got a touchdown yet. I think he's still waiting for his first.
He's hit that rookie wall of, leave them on your bench and then let them have that blow up. And then you can be like, oh shit, I should have my lineup, but just let them have that blow up first before you kind of even.
I've had to start him in a couple of leagues just because tight ends are a fucking crapshoot this year.
I mean, tight ends are trash anyway. I mean, most of the time it doesn't really matter, but I'd say start Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Kelce. Right. Or even this young whippersnapper for the Detroit Lions, Sam LaPorta.
Oh, I've heard he's good.
Yeah, I got him in the league. I love him. He's my guy. All right. Guy, thanks for joining us. We're going to leave it there. Please join us next week where we reveal some irrelevant Indianapolis Colts former wide receiver. So that'll keep you.
please don't look.
That'll keep you. people coming back. So, thanks, Chaz, for joining us, and have a great night. Please, insist.
Please,
I beg you.
This is the Dynasty Football Live Podcast.